All right, we're finally online. It's time to get gone. Let's go. Let's do it. So it is Thursday here on Theologicus. My name is Joseph Louthan. I am so glad you're able to join me. If you're able to join me, welcome to the channel. Today we're doing study in Genesis. I'm so excited for this series. This is a series I don't have written ahead. I'm like up to the last minute trying to get this out the door. There's something else I've kind of picked up in doing these streams, these episodes. What I've kind of noticed is that there is a disconnect, and I think everybody would say this, a kind of disconnect between the way I write and the way I speak. And so it behooves me to definitely think through, first of all, think through what I'm saying as I'm reading it off the screen, but it might behoove me, okay, as I get my camera adjusted, it might behoove me to actually do a dry run. And I might be pressed for time and not be able to do a 45-minute dry run for a 30-minute episode. But I think some of the benefits from that is that it helps me to be more careful about what I'm saying. Okay, so because I've mentioned on the previous episodes, like, man, I speak incredibly quick and not in a good way. And so I want to be clear in this. I want to be concise. This is worship to God. So I want to be in clear as humanly possible by the grace of God. Okay. So, but we're just going to get into it. Lord, you are creator of heaven and hell. And for those, for Christians, we know that, but there are things that you have to open our eyes to see. You have to change our hearts and change our minds about what that actually means. God revealed this to us in your word, through your son, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be in the Genesis study. I pushed, these are my latest notes, okay? So if you are following along on the website, just go right to it. I'm going to be reading straight from those notes so you can follow along in case I'm like, get off course or whatever, or you're like, I don't know what that means. Well, everything should be right here. And if you have any questions, man, always feel free to pop on chat. If you're on YouTube Live or if you're on Twitch, you can always pop on a question and I will get to that. With Facebook, I don't have that access, but if you leave a comment, if you have any questions or if I misspoke somewhere, man, please call me out. I would more than glad to explain what did I say and make those corrections on the next episode. I do this 5 days a week. So the corrections should come fast and quick. Okay. I don't want this podcast, these live streams to be, here's some Joe's opinions and about things going on in the world, right? That's not what this type of channel. There are other channels for that. You're not here to hear my hot takes. My hot takes are not that great anyway. So just go ahead and just, you're not here for that, right? I think you're here. If you're watching me, listening to me, you're reading this, you're here to hear the word of God. And this is what I've been called to and to provide for. I say all that to say that I want to say this, okay? I have read and seen couple of things about plagiarism, sermon plagiarism, book plagiarism, and within the Christian realm, right? And something that really kind of stood out to me is that somebody said, I've seen a couple of things like people are saying, well, it's not a sin to plagiarize. I was like, it didn't sit well with me at the time, and to kind of figure out why is because it's one of the basic Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. That's a basic. That's my son, if you can hear him in the microphone. This is why I love live stream. I love live stream because you know what? Things happen. Life happens. In the podcast, I'll probably edit that out or maybe not. I don't know. So I'm going to say that all to say, if you're reading things, especially on Twitter or whatever, and some of those discussions make their way to Facebook, make their way to church, here's the only thing I'll say about this. Everything on my blog is from me, but I'm not so arrogant or prideful to think that, like, I am blessed with this, like, oh, yeah, that just came from me. No, that comes from God, you know? Like, I am teaching, proclaiming, and preaching His word and His gospel on this channel. The source of that is God. It's about His words, His scripture, and what am I going to do? What am I going to add to it? I don't have anecdotes. I've lived a really hard life, but I don't have any cool anecdotes to kind of like tie everything together or make it more humanized. I don't. And I'm not going to make up stuff or buy anecdotes just to kind of smooth things over. And I don't know what to do with that. All I have is the word. I'm going to teach the word, proclaim the word. I'm going to preach the gospel, preach the word. This is what God has commanded me to do. And so therefore I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, to the glory of God. Okay. That's it. So, it doesn't make me more special or better or anything. It's just, it is what it is. Okay. So today we're going to study and read. Let's just get into the text and we'll talk about what we're going to talk about. Okay. So here we go. Genesis 1, starting at verse 20. Then God said, let the water swarm with living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in according to their kinds. He also created every winged creature according to its kind. For God saw that it was good. God blessed them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. Evening came. And then the morning, the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. I was dying for a drink of water. Here is the supporting for all of that, okay? Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. So what do we see about God in this text, right? Here is a few points that we have to observe about God. God made everything out of nothing. To believe in God, to trust in Christ, and to take Him at His word, by that very same word, you must believe that He created everything out of nothing. This is essentially the faith of the Christian. There are no exceptions. That's why the Apostle Creeds, if you're not familiar with the Creeds, didn't grow up with the Creeds like I did, the Creeds are the declarations of Christian. Okay, they are steeped in Bible. There's nothing outside of the Bible that are in these creeds. These are the basic tenets of the faith. In the Apostles' Creed declares this from the start. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The Nicene Creed from the beginning also declares, we believe in one God, Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. I'll be right back. What I mean by God as creator, and when you talk about, I'm not going to bring in like creation versus evolution or anything like that. I did not say, when you say God is creator, okay? What I did not say is that somehow we are forbidden to discover, to research, to examine all of God's creation. Because we should, because all knowledge, science, and truth comes from God. That's 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 18, okay? Now, we can debate how we got here, the number of years that mankind has existed, or the number of years that creation itself has existed. There is contention and debate there, and I know that those debates will always continue on this side of heaven. However, I will say this again. To be a Christian is to believe that Christ is your Savior and Lord, and from within that belief, we believe that God is creator of everything. The whole of Scripture declares this rightly. From that belief, here are two doctrinal implications. In other words, according to Scripture, since you must believe that God created everything, here are two results of that belief, okay? The first implication, God is sovereign Lord over all creation. This is not from a mere observation point, as God sees everything, as he told Job. In Job 39, do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Have you ever watched the deer in labor? Can you count the months that they are pregnant so that you can know the time that they give birth? They crouch down to give birth to their young. They deliver their newborn. Their offspring are healthy and grow up in an open field. They leave and do not return. However, remember the story of Noah. Noah was declared righteous, and then he obeyed God in building the ark. Noah did not have to command creation. That responsibility fell directly on God, who is Lord, from Genesis 7. From the animals that are clean and from the animals that are not clean, from the birds and every creature that crawls on the ground, two of each, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, just as God has commanded them. The second implication I would like for you to see is that God is provider for all of creation. So not only did he create creation, he is the provider for all creation. If you continue to read on in Job 39 till chapter 41, God continued to emphasize that he's the basic need provider for all his creation. The author of Psalms 104 worships in this way, starting in verse 10. God causes the springs to gush into the valleys. They flow between the mountains. They supply water for every wild beast. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky live beside the springs. They make their voices heard among the foliage. He waters the mountains from his palace. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of your labor. He causes grass to grow for the livestock. He provides crops for a man to cultivate, producing food from the earth, wine that makes humans' hearts glad, making his face shine with oil, and bread that sustains human hearts. The trees of the Lord flourish. The cedars of Lebanon that he planted, there the birds make their nests. Storks make their homes in the pine trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for hyraxes. During the ministry of Jesus, he was confronted with the practical needs of the people and we're talking about the practical needs, the needs for shelter, protection, clothes, and food and water. That is why when we see a need among our neighbors, because we are the bride of Christ, we get to respond in a way that responds to our need. Look how Jesus speaks of this provision for our most basic needs. In Matthew 6, starting at verse 26, consider the birds of the sky. This is Jesus speaking to us. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his life by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God creates the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into a furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? Here is the good news. This is the gospel commandment of God, is to believe and trust in him alone. That's nothing new. If you've been on this channel, you read the Bible, you go to church, you are to hear that every single time. But if we are to believe and trust in him, we must understand two things. Point number one, God is in need of nothing. He owns all creation. Okay, you're like, okay, well, what does that have to do with anything? We can put our trust and faith in a God who does not need everything because he has everything, because he spoke everything into an existence. Does that make sense? There's not a supplier that provides God that he is waiting on in order for that supplier to deliver, okay, to get to you. He's not, God is not the middleman here. God is the source of all things. He is the source of life. We know that from our previous Genesis episodes, that God is our forever light. He is the life of men, okay? So he's also the provider for all of our needs. And here's, let me emphasize this point, Psalm 50, starting in verse 1. The mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks. He summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting, from Zion, the perfection of beauty, God appears in radiance. Our God is coming. He will not be silent. Devouring fire precedes him, and a storm rages around him. On high, he summons heaven and earth in order to judge his people. Gather my faithful little ones to me, those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God is the judge. Selah. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify you against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or for your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your household or male goats from your pen, for every animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I will not tell you, for the world and everything in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Since he owns everything, so God emphasizes, and rightly so, that he owns everything because he's Lord, he's creator and Lord of everything, okay? So since he owns everything, everything we have comes from God. The most beautiful scripture that acknowledges this is Psalm 16. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. So here is the call. You must change your mind about what you have and where it comes from. Our paychecks, our livelihood, the knowledge in our brains, the strength in our hands, the college that we attend, the cars that we drive, the clothes on our back, 5G and high-speed internet, all of it comes from God. Okay? So once we know that, what is our responsibility to that belief? Well, first of all, believing God is your provision. Now, I'm going to acknowledge this. To say that we believe in God, trust in Christ, and take him at his word means that we know that he will provide for all of our needs. Matthew 6:31. So this is what Jesus says. Don't worry saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. God spoke all of creation out of nothing into existence. Do you think he struggles with providing for our needs? Absolutely not. And if we know that and trust God in that, here's another response to that, a deeper response. Thank the Lord that he provides for us everything. Everything comes from him. He provides everything to us. Therefore, let us give thanks to God. Psalm 50 continues on. Offer a thanksgiving sacrifice to God and pay your vows to the Most High. But look at what God says to you. Call on me on the day of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me. Okay? To tie it all home. If we are created and our lives are but a vapor on this earth, we're here if we're blessed and lucky to be on this earth for 100 years, that 100 years is nothing. It's like drop in the bucket, right? But in our time here on earth, God provides us for all of our needs. If that is all taken care of, what are we really going after? What should we desire? Christ would go on to say, he goes, why are you worrying about these things? Okay? Why do you worry about these things? But here's where our minds get to change. Because of Christ, the Spirit of Christ in us, we get to seek after what really matters. Okay? Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you. Just like God provides the necessary sacrifice to save Isaac, God sends his son as the necessary sacrifice to save our lives. Jesus goes on to say, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day will have enough trouble of its own. For the Christian, our days are in his hands. Our lives are forever with him. No one can snatch us out of his hands. Not even death can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Okay, so my simple prayer for today, okay, is only this. My provision. My days are counted out by you. You have always provided for me perfectly. And I know because I was in need of a Savior and a sacrifice for my sins. And in your love and grace and mercy, you gave me your Son. Blessed be your holy name forever. Amen. Okay. Thank you for hanging with me. Thank you for today's Bible study. If you have any questions, concerns, or if you need prayer, reach out. I'm available everywhere. Join us tomorrow. It's going to be Friday. It's going to be home devotions. We're still in Mark. We're going through Mark 1. I hope you join us later.